Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the September 23rd, 2017, meeting of the Board of Education of Wasatch Local Schools. Now come to order. It is exactly 8 o'clock in the morning. Treasurer, could you please call roll?
Mr. Kaiser.
Present.
Mrs. Carmody.
Present.
Mr. Honor.
Present.
Ms. Canales.
Present.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Present.
Also present, Dr. Hayward, Mr. Davis, and myself.
At this time, if I can ask everyone to please stand for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I would open the microphone up to anybody from the community who would like to address the board. Seeing none, we'll turn this over to our superintendent for her presentation on the state report card.
Thank you. I'm going to have Bob come up quickly because our new web page went live overnight, and so he's just going to give you a real quick preview of what has changed.
Basically, we're using a content management system service. Basically means there's a separation between the information and the display of that information. So what was really great about this whole process was that we were able to select a new layout, a new look, but all of the content, all the information that we've been putting in over the years, it went in directly. We didn't have to recreate everything. Now, what we do need to do is we do need to play around with some of the images and elements and buttons, because now things are a little bit different size, a little bit different place. So we still have some tweaking to do. But the nice thing is all the information that people were used to finding is still there following the same navigation rules. So that's one nice thing, that even though it looks different, it had the same information. So basically, we still have our top nav bar, but with this element added was a little bit more highlighting of our buildings so that people can find our buildings that much faster and say, okay, I want to see McGregor. That's where I'm here. So instead of hunting down the menu, McGregor pops right up. So, but then everything else is still the same in terms of being able to present the calendar, still being able to present what's new, still being able to present the news, bring along our Facebook feed and our Twitter feed, and also still having our no bullying right at the top so that people can report. People do use that. So, you know, it is being very, very well used. So we've got some more tweaking to do, and I'm hoping that with the new design and everything, that it'll regenerate some more teachers to say, hey, I want to see what the classroom website that can make of this. Now, one of the main benefits of this is also that it's called a new flexible or fluid design. So if you took a look at this on an iPad at one point in time or your phone, it really didn't work. Mm-hmm. Now, it automatically rescales everything so that it does work, so that it doesn't just chop things off. It actually moves things around. So it actually moves things around so that, you know, it actually does work. So more exciting things to come as we continue to play with the new stuff. Any questions?
That one that says bullying on it?
Yes.
Is that interactive? I mean, does someone can click on that?
Yes.
Why don't we change the name on that to something like bullying hotline or something? To me, I had no idea. To me, that looked like just a comment.
And what's the point of it? To turn in somebody's bullying?
Yes, what people do is it's an anonymous reporting system.
David, I may have to turn you in.
Shut up, John.
Again?
That's my bullying.
On it, they fill out a form, and based upon information they provide in here, it goes to student services and or like if they actually identify a building, it actually goes to the counselor and principal at that building right away. A copy goes to the webmaster, so we've got an official.
Can you go back to that, the halo, the title for it? It says no bullying, but to me, I don't pick up the fact that I could actually use that for it. If you made a bullying hotline or something so they would know that they can use it.
I will find out if there's a way for us to change that.
That's a great idea.
Dr. Bob, do you know how long it is when someone reports a bullying incident like that if they may hear back?
That's a really good question, because I was getting ready to share that. Neil and I know immediately. We immediately talk. We activate immediately, and it is a quick process. We take it extremely serious, and I follow up immediately. So we address those instantaneously, basically.
So you get notified, like how it dings.
Okay. Emails, the emails flow, and then great response.
I get copied on everything from beginning to end, and so our counseling staff and our building administrators do a phenomenal job with this, especially our counseling staff. And it is addressed swiftly, quickly, and efficiently. So impressive how we do that.
So do we have in the student handbook, like, if you're caught bullying the first time, it's a warning, second time suspension or whatever like that? Are there laid out plans for kids who are bullying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep, I do. I don't know if they're laid out, but I will share that we are going with a national anti-bullying program called OVEAS, and we received some new Title IV money from the state of Ohio. It's a brand new grant, and we had some choices on how to spend that money, and one choice was an anti-bullying, so we went with a national program, and so I asked Neil to meet with the counselors and present them three options. And they picked an option. We're getting ready to send someone to training, and then we'll come back and do train the trainer. And we are planning to roll that out in January. So we will be extremely efficient at a national level in how we do bullying. But I do not know off the top of my head if it is explicit in the handbooks. It's more probably of a general statement and what constitutes bullying, but it's at the discretion of the administrators based on the severity of it.
So, I mean, but if a guy's, let's say, if I'm bullying Patty three or four times and I'm caught this, am I going to get some consequences?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are immediate consequences based on the degree of severity. So we take it extremely serious. And we take it serious, student to student, adult to adult, adult to student. There's multiple layers of possible bullying type behavior.
How many have you got?
How many did we have last year? Well, first of all, we're required to, by the state of Ohio, to report.
Okay.
One of the first things I did coming into this district is ask where this information was on our website. And so
there is last year. So 78 total.
Yep.
For 16-17.
Wow. And it goes by building.
Well, I like how significantly it's dropped from 132 in 2012 to 2012.
Yep. So that's a state mandate.
We also have a system as part of our filtering system that is watching student searches as well as student emails for self-harm and bullying keywords. And the same thing happens when that system sees terms and say, I don't think it might be a bullying or a self-harm issue. Get an email, emails go out, inform people, and I think the last several times it's been within an hour.
I think that's all low. I think a lot of them go unreported.
So you said you were going to look and see if you can change it. Don't we have complete control over this site?
Not complete control, because we're using a service that provides, as I said, there's content and there's display. And they control the template. Now, we did go through and pick this template out of, like, 65 different templates, and then we get to play with the colors. But there are certain elements that, no, that's pretty much the way they do it for all 1,000 districts that use that template. So we have to check and see what we can and cannot play with. Just like Microsoft, sort of have to do it. We have to play the game the way it has to be played.
So we can insert links and we...
Oh, yes. Well, we can modify what's here and how people get to it, but we may not be able to change exactly what no bullying in a little simple sense. That might be, that's the way it works. So we'll find out. All we can do is ask.
Dr. Bob, I'm sorry, just... part of this, though, because I have the Washington Local app, which I put on probably a couple years ago, but every time I go on it, which is not frequently, it's like you need to tell your system they need to upgrade. So,
right, that app is so I need rather to, old right now. We need to talk to that vendor to find out what's going
okay,
on.
Okay, so I can I mean, I'll keep it, but it'll work occasionally. Exactly. But otherwise, I'll just go into Safari and find what I need.
Right. That is, that app is actually separate from this website.
Right.
That's another service.
Right. So could that, is that going to be part, will that app include this, or is this a separate entity?
Totally separate entities.
Oh, man, I got to have two more apps.
And then, right, so that's why, you know, this is the website, that's an app.
Right.
So we've got content in both as well. That's
okay.
Oh, they're linked. They point to each other.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of the content, one is over, it's like saying Fiddler and Huntington. Mm-hmm. You know, your money's not automatically in both locations, so you have to actually play with it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's switch over to Bing Game.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Wednesday, I did a brief overview of our district report card, and today I'm going to go into a little bit more depth. Some background information. We did some planning last year that directly impacts our report card this coming year, and so I wanted to kind of share some of those initiatives. So last year as well as this year, we have targeted K-3 literacy, professional development, and teacher and student resources, and that continues. It will always continue. We will always look at K-3 literacy and making sure that we are doing everything possible to support our students in reading and writing. We also changed our model from proficiency tutors to a targeted Title I program, and our Title I teachers were trained at the very beginning of the school year on a program called LLI, and that is a marriage with our current guided reading program. So our Title I teachers are trained, and they will be working with students first semester in grades 1-4 to really capture those kids who did not meet the third grade guarantee. And then second semester, we will add kindergarten students to the mix to support them. We wanted to give them the first semester just to get acclimated to kindergarten. We also added an English course to our junior high schedule. And so our junior high students are getting both English and reading, and that should directly support our value added as well as our achievement, because previously they were getting English and reading within one class period. And the English language arts learning standards are vast in content. So we made that adjustment. We also looked at our high school schedule, and that had been looked at for several years. And one priority was to make those singleton courses to best meet the needs of receiving curriculum over a year due to the vastness of those English language arts standards and other standards in other core areas. We also did a special education audit last year. It was a program audit, and we've met several times over the summer. We've met this fall. Neil is meeting with teachers, and we are beginning the process of deciding on our plan to begin making those changes second semester. So that should also directly impact achievement in this district. We've been using an inclusion model in our elementaries primarily, and we really need to look at that to make sure that our students who are identified special ed are receiving individualized instruction based on their needs. And so that's a priority. So those are some things that are already in place to improve achievement. When you're looking at a report card, you always have to remember it's a one point in time assessment. And so when you're looking at that data, first of all, it's old data now to us, and it's a one point in time. So when you're really planning, you're making decisions moving forward on making sure our students are receiving the instruction, receiving the content as defined by the Ohio Department of Education and those learning standards. So that's our focus. We're focusing on our children all year, not just during those one point in time tests. If we're doing a good job with that, then it shows on our state report card. Yesterday, I met with all of the principals as well as cabinet level people that needed to be part of that discussion as it relates to our plan moving forward. And so I went through the plan that I'm going to share with you today. We talked about that. I asked for feedback. We really spent an hour and a half to 2 hours really thinking about past practices and now what are we going to do differently moving forward over the next several years. So the first slide is just our mission statement and really thinking about ongoing support for our children. I put up some goals. They're not SMART goals. I'm more than happy to begin looking at putting those into SMART goals if you guys would like those. It's still a little bit too early for me to feel comfortable creating those because we need to have those discussions with our teachers and decide if we want to put some committees together. And so it's a little bit too early for me to create those because I still need to have dialogue and we need to work together as a team moving forward with our staff. So right now, the goals are Washington Local Schools will implement an academic plan aimed at improving achievement for all students with a focus on progress and closing the achievement gap. Washington Local will provide an ongoing high-quality professional development around effective strategies to close the achievement gap. Washington Local will focus on protecting instructional time throughout the school day. Washington Local will do a curriculum audit internal to make sure all K-12 resources are research-based and aligned to the learning standards. Part of that curriculum audit is also looking at our gifted program, because that comes out of the curriculum department. Any questions on those goals? So we talked about our achievement score and we talked about that we didn't meet any of the indicators, but I did show you that longitudinal data to show that we did make progress in the majority of those areas on Wednesday. So our component grade is a D. And then our performance index was a C. So what are we going to do to improve achievement? We're going to do some data analysis meetings in all tested areas with principals and teachers. We're at a disadvantage because when you look at the data over time, when we were administering the OAA, we had been doing that for several years. And what happens is we had the opportunity to pull our teachers in, look at every question, analyze every question, look at the percentages, and begin compiling questions year after year after year to use for practice. You also had buckle down books and all of these resources for the state of Ohio to really help in supporting that. So you had year after year after year lots and lots of resources to mimic test questions, to mimic. And so year after year, scores got a little bit better and better and better because you had more and more resources to support those assessments. And then all of a sudden, that part comes out, brand new set of questions, much more rigor, much more difficult, and then you saw the crash in scores across the nations, those states using the PARC assessment. Ohio ditched it, and then we've been doing the AIR. What happens when a state makes a drastic change like that is they are grabbing questions and they're not releasing information because they have to reuse those questions because they don't have a bank. It takes thousands and thousands of dollars to write a question because it goes through this very lengthy process. So the state is at a disadvantage, all the schools, because we don't have enough information to even teach the type of questions that are on those assessments. But those, it's now coming out. So we're starting to get more information, and that's really going to help our teachers, help our students be prepared. And we also went to online testing, and So we're moving forward, but we're going to really look at the data, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I share some handouts about one way we can look at the data. Our administrators are going to work with, our district administrators are going to work with principals and really look at that. Our principals are going to come together and really talk. And I really set that tone yesterday that we're going to talk, and you're going to say, this is really working in my building, and this teacher is doing an excellent job, because we need to share those strategies. And so we're going to be very intentional in bringing our principals, inviting teachers to share, collaborate as much as possible. So that's a huge, huge focus moving forward. Then we are going to provide targeted professional development. And that really is the difference. When you are asking your teachers and your administrators, what do you need to best support your kids? That's when you are targeting specifics. And that's really important, because programs don't improve learning. Teachers have a direct impact. And so we will begin the process of really talking to our teachers and saying, what do you need? I also did that yesterday with the principals. I mean, I went through this whole PowerPoint and I had lots of conversation about what can we do to help you? What professional development can we do after school? What workshops do you need? And so we really challenged our principals yesterday to let us know what can we do to help them be better at instructional leaders, because every year we all are trying to be the best we can be and learn and grow.
Susan, that professional development, what you and I talked about, is that what you want to increase?
No, that is a need, but we have Title IIA money that's going to support that, but we're going to, resources.
Okay.
So we're also going to evaluate our current curriculum materials to make sure that they are aligned. We're going to begin the process of implementing a common writing curriculum for K-8. So there's a big weakness in writing right now, big weakness. And what are we doing, the fidelity of following the standards? And sometimes writing goes to the wayside because it focuses on reading. But the tests now have writing on them. So writing is being measured. But more importantly, you need to be writing every day, because it's part of life and being prepared for college and career readiness. So we're going to have a heavy emphasis in the spring to begin looking at writing. And we're also implementing frontier learning in grades 4 through 6. So we don't have a lot of informational materials. Last year we only focused on K-3. We also did junior high and high school, but we never touched grades 4 through 6. And so we're going to provide our teachers some materials that are informational, and lots of writing, lots of analysis, and so forth. And so with that program is an online program, so our 4-6 students will each have a Chromebook to be able to use that program. So that was, we did some changing around of Chromebooks to make sure that we had enough to meet the needs of our 4-6 population. Any questions on the achievement component before I move on? The next component is gap closing, and that's really looking at our subgroups and making sure that all students are moving forward and learning and growing, and that we are providing them the necessary support. So again, we're going to do data analysis on the gap closing component. Our district administrators will be working with our building administrators. Our building administrators will be working with our teachers, and we will be analyzing. Then we will be working also with our principals, where if they get a C or below in any component or any subcomponent, that they will be creating a district, a building level report. Come on up, Katie. So I'm going to pass that around. So for each and every component, the principal will be writing an action plan in all of the areas on the report card, so I'm passing that around. Again, targeted professional development. We are going to work with our Title I teachers and make sure that they are also working on that gap closing with those small groups of students. And we are also providing individualized student instruction again this year in grades 7 and 8, and we added grade 9 for those special education students at the junior high and high school. So the last year's 8th graders are carrying on that in grade 9 and really providing that individualized. We are also responding to our special education program audit, because one of those subgroups is our special education students. And we are also going to look at our current special education teachers and really identify best practice strategies and share those with all of our special education teachers across the district.
I had a nice talk with Neil after the meeting about evaluations, like I asked him. He told me that we're trying to get all LD kids to take the test and not take the standard test for handicapped children. So I thought that was a good idea. Hopefully that would help us more. So the more teachers take the special test, it hurts your scores.
Yeah. We will be using NWEA MAP. We piloted that last year in some grade levels. Now we are moving forward in K-9 and administering the MAP assessment. It's a national assessment, it's a nonprofit, and it is given in the fall, winter, and spring. It gives teachers instantaneous feedback on where students are and their strengths and weaknesses so that you can begin immediately supporting them individually. This has been around for years. Victoria has been in multiple districts. She has used NWEA MAP in all grade levels in districts here and even in Pennsylvania. So it's a well-respected assessment program, and it's comparing kids nationally. And that's important because Ohio is a criterion referenced assessment, and it's comparing our students with other students in Ohio, whereas NWEA is really like the Iowa test where they're comparing them by their age. So how are our 11-year-olds doing with other 11-year-olds across the nation? And then also instruction and practice on computer-based assessment will be provided to ensure students on IEPs are able to demonstrate their true learning on state assessments. So that's also going to be a priority for our gap closing. I have a handout that I would like to discuss as it relates to gap closing. So what I have on this handout for you is, how did we do across the district, building to building to building? So when you look at this, it's a little bit misleading, so I want to make sure. So when you look at Greenwood, our first building, they received an F. And when you look at the subgroups under English Language Arts, they have white, Hispanic, African American, all students, economically disadvantaged, and students with disabilities. So when you look at English Language Arts, the first bar is blue, which represents white. But then when you look at math, the first bar is blue, but it represents Hispanic. So they didn't keep the colors with the subgroups. So it's misleading. So you have to look at the key underneath to see that. So in English Language Arts, the state defined, Katie, is it 77.1? 77.1 is the target for English Language Arts, and for math, 72. So the state defines that red line. And so the expectation is that all students in the state of Ohio and all of those subgroups meet the red line. So when you look at Greenwood, they received an F. Hiawatha received an F. If you turn to the next page, Jackman received a B. So then McGregor received a B. Meadowvale received an F.
I don't understand that one. So that's very confusing to me, because that is where the more affluent people live in this district. And Charlotte and I see they got a D, but I don't understand that one at all. But I'm sorry.
Well, then, like Monac got a C, Shoreland a D, Warner an F, Jefferson, Washington an F, and Whitmer an F. And so what's important about looking at this is you can see that some buildings are more successful than others on getting that grade on their building report card, and then they combine all of those for our district report card. And so that's when it's important to have those conversations. It's important to say to the McGregor principal and the Jackman principal, what's going on in your building that may be different in my building? And so that's why it's so important to get all the principals together to really look at this data, really go out into their teacher classrooms, really think about what's going on differently from building to building to building. And so that's that collaboration piece, and that's a priority for us this year, is really collaborating and bringing the best strategies that are occurring in buildings to everyone, or the best programs that are being used. One thing that I did as soon as I walked in the door in this district is I said, we are not going to be operating as an island in each building. All 8 elementaries are coming together, and all students and teachers will be afforded the same resources, fairness and equity. And so that's a big change for our elementary principals, because they haven't been operating under that model for some time. And so we're going into equity and collaboration and working together as a team instead of working in isolation. And so this is a good thing, because this is the impetus for doing that this year, and we will be working really, really hard on that. Katie, do you have anything else you want to share?
No, the only thing that could be noted is that not every building has the same suffers. They have to have 30 students to qualify as a suffer. So, for example, Greenwood had 6, where Hiawatha only has 4 suffers.
Yeah. I have a question about schools in general, just not our schools. Any school system I was affiliated with, and in Michigan, we always got grades. Why is it that, like, the middle elementaries always get A's, middle schools get B's, and then your high schools get F's? Why is that?
I think one reason is that kids are not learning and growing at the same rate of speed, and so those kids that are behind in reading and stay behind in reading, it's affecting everything. And as the curriculum gets more rigorous and harder over time, it's harder and harder for those kids to keep up.
Could it be because as you progress through your school, when you get to high school and middle school, there's so many other things. Instead, you know, I mean, think about it. Those kids in elementary school, I love you, Mr. Davis. I hug you. And then you go to middle school, you know, they don't call you Mr. Davis. So I guess I always, and I'm not a regular ed person by any means, I never understood that.
I think as school gets harder and as you struggle more and more, you lose engagement, you lose motivation. Lots of kids start missing school. They're sick. They're sick because they can't be successful. They're sick because they don't want to go to school anymore. And so, and the more you go up in grade level, the harder it gets for those kids who are not at grade level. And I think that's the major factor. They can't do sports if they're not succeeding. They...
With 1.0, come on. You would get 1.0. That's another issue.
So, information for you on that component. Any questions, any further questions you might have? Next one is K-3 literacy. So we improved in K-3 literacy from a D to a B. We really put a lot of energy into that. We're also continuing that energy. That B isn't due to the changes we made. It's also due to the hard work of our teachers and the intentionalness of working with those K-3 students. And so the credit goes to our teachers and the hard work they're doing. But we're going to continue that hard work. And again, we're going to do those data analysis meetings. Our district administrators will be working with building administrators. We will be implementing additional targeted professional development. Ohio State is coming back to continue to work with those K-2 teachers, as well as beginning work, which they've already done and are continuing next week with our third grade teachers, and also the professional development in our level literacy intervention program, LLI. We will begin that Title I support, which I think will make a huge difference for our students forever and ever and ever, because whenever you can get a kid on grade level and keep them there, it just means they're going to be more successful because they can read the material in all of their courses as they move through school. We are still purchasing literacy resources. A huge investment is going into that next week, and based on our budget, we are mainly using that money for K-3 literacy again this year. Next, we will be implementing again NWA MAP that will support K-3 because it begins in kindergarten, and we are initiating the use of a standard-based grading and report card in grades K-2. So this is a topic I want to spend a little bit of time on because it's a very stressful topic. Very stressful. So the district has been discussing a standard-based report card in K-2 for 5 to 7 years. And we've had a lot of technical problems. We've had a lot of let's wait another year, a lot of problems with buy-in, changes really hard. Katie had meetings with the K-1 and 2 teachers over the last week and really sat down with them after school at their grade level meetings. And again, we went through the process, and we are moving forward with it with our K-2 standard-based report card. Why is this a really, really good thing? We're like one of the last districts to do it. Most districts have moved to that. Why is it a really good thing? Because as parents in our district, they need to know what are the strengths and weaknesses of their child. They need to know how they're doing, and they are able to do that with a standard-based report card. It's also important for teachers because it's a constant reminder to be thinking about those learning standards, to be assessing those standards based on the requirements through ODE. And do you want to kind of talk about what the plan might be moving forward?
So I think in the next week and a half, we're going to talk with principals about the details of the standards-based grade card for really right now grades 1 and 2. Kindergarten will do grades second quarter, and kindergarten is already utilizing a skill-based reporting system. What we want to do with kindergarten is move away from they sit down one-on-one at one point in time to gather evidence for their grade cards, and we want to move to more of an authentic assessment where they're collecting evidence versus that one-on-one point in time. So we need to really talk about with kindergarten how we're collecting evidence to report on progress and achievement towards mastery of our standards. With grades 1 and 2, we need to work on a system for reporting. Right now, I think we're going to start with a old school paper pen model where they're literally just taking their evidence and then reporting whether the student has mastered the standard, progressing towards it, or not met the standard. So we need to really make sure we're organized, but also that we're simplifying the process for our teachers because they're really, really struggling with how am I going to do this? How am I going to get my grades? Is the district going to tell me what standards to collect when? What's the grade book look like? So we just really need to make sure that administratively we provide support with really simplifying the process and giving them the power to collect the evidence and report to parents where their child's at.
So we're moving to the cardstock, old-fashioned report card. And in K-2. So kindergarten does not get their first report card until second semester. And so it's really for grades 1 and 2. So we're going to create the old-fashioned where the teacher is going to just mark it and write the comments in a handwritten format. Because sometimes we have a tendency to overthink things, and our goal is to really simplify it. So if a kindergartner is required to know numbers 1 through 20, instead of at the end of the second quarter giving them a worksheet and says write numbers 1 through 20, it's very easy in morning work to give them that and watch them progress and to see if they've mastered it or if they're progressing or where they're going, because a one-point-in-time assessment doesn't truly always reflect the knowledge that a student knows. So we're making some changes. Teachers are you have one teacher that's in tears because we need to be doing it, and this is what we need, and then you might have another teacher who's like, change is too much, and they don't want to make change. And that's typical across the nation when change occurs.
So the skill rings, the skill rings.
What?
The skill rings. That we're going to still have those. Yes, no, maybe. The skill rings where they have to know 1 to 20, they have to know their phone number. I'm sorry, kindergarten only because I've done it.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
I did not know.
Okay, working together, let's see what works the best with our kids.
Do we instruct our teachers that you want to wait 1 or 2 years before you refer them for a violation?
You have to. I'm sorry.
I mean, are they instructed you got to wait until after the second grade?
Unless they're cognitively impaired. I mean, we know everybody's certainly cognitive. I'm talking about elementary students.
I think that based on the need of the students, we begin the process as soon as we feel it's needed. As soon as it's needed. It just depends on the child. I don't think we automatically wait.
But how do we know?
Based on if it's developmental or if it's cognitive.
Well, but how do we know? My question is, if they haven't learned yet, how do we know how to evaluate them on that system? I understand cognitive differences, but it's always been difficult with LD students, do you understand? Because they're just coming in. I don't think we should refer our first grader to be evaluated. I don't think we should refer a second grader to be evaluated. We need to look at, because some move slower than we do.
Right.
So I think sometimes that's what happens. It's we label kids too early, and we don't know if they're going. Because, some are going to learn concepts quicker than others.
We always ask that initial question, is it development or is it cognitive impairment? And so I think we're very conscious of that, and we agree with you. Progress. Progress, four areas overall. Gifted, students with disabilities, and the lowest 20% in achievement. So we received a D overall when you combined all of those. Again, data analysis, district administrators working with principals, principals working with teachers, accountability with the action plan based on the components, targeted professional development, developing individualized teacher improvement plans as needed based on value-added scores, really sitting down with teachers and helping them by looking at what they're doing and why our kids over the past 2 years not growing, because we get individualized teacher reports in October, November. Additional value-added reports are coming out. And, I've done this one, and I've done it lots of times where teachers have been rated least effective. And I've went in with teachers and I've said, how can I help you? And we've really just spent that time together working on what isn't working and coming up with a plan. It may be resources, it may be just lots of different things, visiting other teachers. There are lots and lots of ways to provide that necessary support. And then we're also going to use that NWA MAP assessment to monitor our students' growth from fall to winter and from winter to spring. And then at the end, they assess students technically from fall to spring. That winter is a progress monitoring piece. And that will also provide additional support so that teachers know the strengths and weaknesses of each and every student in math and reading, and WEA.
So their progress monitoring is done individually. I'm sorry, I'm going to use the word dibbles. God love dibbles. So the progress monitoring is done individually for these students to see the progress. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the old days.
Yeah, so every student is assessed in the fall. That's going on right now. Teacher report.
For one adult. I mean, whether it's the classroom teacher and or
it is done online. So the students take an online assessment within WEA. It's not done face-to-face.
Okay.
Good question.
That's what I thought, I think.
Based on their answers. So if they didn't answer right, they didn't want to pull questions.
Got it.
And then if they're also missing them, they bring down the labs and they can do that.
And then for those students in the LLI intervention, the teacher is using running records as a progress monitoring tool.
Okay, so...
Ta-da. And we're using that in guided reading too. So we are doing amazing assessment with our K-3 just with guided reading and LLI, and then we are now taking that all the way up through grade 9. And the big aha moments are probably going to happen in junior high and high school, because there's very little good solid assessment tools in math and reading at those levels. And so NWEA is really going to provide that support to those teachers. And it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
So the guided reading, they've... God, because I went to so many workshops on running records. The correct way? Oh, my God. So they've been...
Yes.
Because it's... Because that's how you judge what that child needs.
Correct.
Okay, so they've... I mean, I know there are many teachers that have been trained.
There's a tremendous amount of work was done with Ohio State and our teachers. It's not just the running records, but then the analysis. What is their need?
Correct.
Are they making errors with meaning? Are they making visual errors? So, yes, lots of work has been done.
All right, good. Because those were reading recovery, but okay.
And what's nice about that is we are training our teachers to implement that with fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for them because fidelity is hard, but it's absolutely necessary. So the next handout I have for you is our progress data by grade level and building. And so value added is in grades 4 through high school. It goes up to that reading and math. And then it's only in reading and math. And so this is important too, because I showed you the previous handout where we were looking at each and every building in our subgroups, but this one is important because progress is essential. That is so important to us, to see our kids growing at their rate. So it's taking our students from where they were individually and seeing individual growth. So if they were at the 50th percent, the state is saying they need to be at the 50th percent the next school year. So 50 to 50 is considered 1 year's worth of growth. If they get 51 or higher, that means they're exceeding. So when you look at the comparison, so if you look at grade 4 reading, you will see McGregor showed 3.69 years worth of growth in their fourth grade, whereas Greenwood showed negative 0.51. So you can see the numbers are all over the place. And then if you go to grade 5 math, you can see even a bigger range, where Shoreland showed 16.28 years worth of growth, which is phenomenal, whereas Hiawatha and McGregor showed minus 6 and minus 7 years.
So my question on that is, that's very peculiar for Shoreland. Have we ever looked into that? Maybe, I mean, are there gifted kids in there? I mean, look at their fourth grade scores. Did you compare their fourth grade scores compared to their fifth grade math scores last year and see what they
Well, we have to remember that we're only in our second year of the AIR test.
Right.
And so value added is based on a 3-year average. And this year is based on a 2-year average, and we do not have the reports by teacher Those are coming out in October. So we just, this is all they've given us so far, so we have not had the opportunity to do that yet.
You would agree that's very
It is an outlier, but it is what it is. And so, you know, yesterday as we were working with our principals, you know, we really talked about this. So, and again, that collaboration and that working together. So what's going on at Shoreland in fifth grade? What's different in that fifth grade versus another
Teacher
fifth grade math? What?
Teacher taking the test?
No.
Wait a minute. Our kids went to Shoreland, Jim.
But you can see those ranges.
I have people knocking on my door.
You can see the ranges in every category. And so our goal is to really look at value added is very much teacher effect. If the state of Ohio would say define that, it's teacher effect. And so lots of discussion around teachers and what are they doing. And so then we want to be able to share that with all teachers, those strategies. And so yesterday we talked about, would some of our teachers be willing to do a video? Would our teachers be willing to do an after-school workshop? And so lots of discussions. Teachers don't usually like to highlight themselves well in front of others, but we're still going to ask. And then we also have an OTES, which is our teacher evaluation, lots of videos that are showing accomplished. And so can we pull some of those and give our teachers the opportunity to see those 40 to 80-minute lesson plans that the state is providing. So I think that my purpose in sharing both sets of building level data is to really show we have great progress in pockets. And so our goal is to have that uniformly across our district. That's a goal. And so we have that. So I think the show that our students are growing at the rate as defined by ODE. And we saw that Wednesday when we highlighted the amazing kids who scored perfect. And so great things are happening in our district. Great strides are happening in academics. And we need to just be intentional and finding out how we can do better in areas and using our staff and to help that along. Any questions? Graduation rate, lots of changes with graduation this year for our seniors, and we have an attendance specialist, and so we're going to continue to move forward as it relates. One thing that we're going to focus on is our attendance specialist and social worker will work with students who have withdrawn but never re-enrolled in another district. So we're going to really try to get these kids back to school, work with them, do those house visits.
How's it working out?
Great. It's going really, really well. Educate Washington local families on the multiple pathways for graduation because those are changing this year. District administrators will work with principals to analyze our building level data on attendance to get these kids ready to be in school routinely when they are in that high school setting. And then the high school principals will work together to create a plan on how to improve that. Prepared for success. This is just really looking at are our kids ready for college and career readiness. And the state requires that we offer the ACT now in grade 11, so we will continue that. We've added some remediation courses this year to help our students. So we're actually, we started working on this last year. And so that's just an ongoing uphill battle, the prepared for success, because that's not easy, getting our kids to all do well on the ACT without remediation. For example, what can parents and community members do to support student success at Washington Local? Just being active, know your child's data, ask questions, practice active communication with school staff, stay abreast of legislative changes, and contact state legislators. And then finally, how are we going to communicate and that's through our quality profile link. That's brand new, our district website, e-news, district level emails, and superintendent newsletters. So that's the conclusion of our report card, but I also want to share with you the Career Center report card. So I'm going to go ahead and pass that around. I have not had a chance yet to sit down with Deb Heben and the high school and really deeply analyze this. Deb did share that with her staff this week, and so I will be meeting with Christy and Deb, and we will begin the process of analyzing the CTC report card and looking at that. But graduation rate is an A, prepared for success is a D. Post-program outcomes is an A. Technical skills attainment is a D. So I will sit down with Deb and the experts, and we will begin the process of working on that. And I would be more than happy if next month or the month after, if you want to have me share with you the action plan for our CTC. But we are in the very, very, very early stages of analyzing that. And so that's forthcoming. I also have for you an Ohio State report card guide. And the last thing I want to talk about is our comparison. I sent you an email with report card results, and it included the comparison. This one's a little bit different. I took some categories off, like the prepared for success and graduation rate, because it was so teeny tiny, and I just really wanted to focus on the achievement piece. So the state of Ohio, do you have yours yet, Lisa? Okay. So the state of Ohio identifies 20 districts that are most similar to Washington Local. So when the report code comes out, I am not at all interested in how area schools are doing. I have no interest in Perrysburg. I have no interest in Sylvania, Oregon, none of them, because those districts are not like our district. And so I never compare us to them. I immediately, the day the report card comes out, and I did it again this year, and I have for 13 years, I immediately want to get this information, because this tells us a lot about how we are doing with schools most like ours. And so you see schools all over the state of Ohio that are similar to us in number of students and socioeconomic status and college education of parents and college average income and the average price of land and all those different types of information. And so when you look at the indicators met, everyone received an F. So we are performing at the same similar level as them. That's not an excuse, but it's just a comparison. Then when you look at the performance index, we received a D, and as you can see, all of those 20 schools received a C or a D. Achievement, we received a D. Everybody received a D. One received a C. Value added, we received an F, but you will see the biggest range, and that is we have A's and F's. So we have a lot of work to do in value added. That's a number one priority for me. Then gifted value added, a C, and you again see F through C. I was impressed with our C. I was impressed because when you look at our program and we're contracting out of our ESC and the number of teachers, when you really look at our program, this is impressive. That C is impressive to me. Lowest 20% C, again you see from A through F in our comparison schools. And then when you look at progress component total, you see that range as well. When you look at gap closing, you see a range of basically C through F. And then when you look at K through literacy, you see a range of B through D, and we have a B. So we're kind of at the top in our similar districts.
I guess this is very confusing because I'm looking at two schools, Northwest Local, who has 5 A's, and Austin Local Schools that have 5 A's, and they still get an F. I guess that's kind of confusing to me. It's going through the state division. I mean, they have all these A's. They have 4 C's. They have 1 D, and then they get an F.
Well, they have an A in just that progress component. So Austin Local, they have an A, and students growing in that value-added piece.
But you understand what I'm saying, Susan? You look at Youngstown, Mahoning County. I mean, their lowest grade is a D. They have all those A's, C's, and then they get an F.
Well, they're measuring two different things. So the indicators are measuring how they did scoring on every question on the achievement tests. And then the progress piece is how that individual child did growing. So a kid can fail the test, but they grew from 1 year to the next. So that's why it's always most important to me to see progress, that our students are growing, because not all kids are going to pass a state test in a defined time and a one point in time, but are they growing as an individual student? And so you rarely see those two aligned except in the most highest achieving districts where they're passing all the state tests, which is 80% now, versus progress. So that's why, and it's the flip. A lot of times in a high achieving, they'll get A's and an indicator, and they're automatically get an A in progress, or they won't get an A in progress because they're at the 90. Kids are at 99 percentile, and how do you maintain the 99 percentile? So, and you have to realize that the state also doesn't tell us the formula they use, for example, in value added. And so, that's just this is a really important snapshot of how we're doing beyond our report, because it's really saying this is how we're doing compared to other districts that are most like ours as defined by ODE. So any additional questions on our similar district comparison? And that concludes my presentation.
Okay. I just held all my questions to the end because I want to be able to get a snapshot. Did anybody else have any other questions? I may spark a few questions with some of my.
I just would like you to, Susan, if you ever find out one here, email me how they do that, how they pick those schools, you know, comparing this.
It's all demographics.
Yeah. Well, I think it's second. Yeah, but it's got to be a lot of factors. Because I know some of the schools in here that I think that they're the best.
Well, they are different because one may have 4,000 kids, and ours may have 7,000, and we're in the same comparison, but all the other factors, so they take all these factors and create an electronic formula. So sometimes you're right, it doesn't make sense.
And I think that people in the community don't understand that too, the factors. You know, we can't, you know, I get people banging on my door, how come Ottawa Hills got A's as well? Hello, here? The average income in Ottawa Hills is maybe 150,000, ours is 30,000, you know, or Perry's, whatever Spain is.
If you don't ask the question about resources, I'm going to let Katie speak to that as it relates to math. So do you want her to speak to it now?
She is on the spot. I was waiting for her.
Okay. So, Katie, I'm going to have you speak to our math because math is not up for textbook adoption for 2 years. Next year is science, and then the next year is math. And so based on our report card results, one thing that we might want to think about is, do we need to do a review of our math program instead of waiting 2 years to support student growth? And so, Katie, if you could walk us through the process that you used.
So last Friday, we sent an email to all math teachers in Washington Local K-12, and we asked them to respond to 3 questions. So the 3 questions were, are the current course of study materials meeting the needs of your grade level Ohio learning standards for math? The second question, do you believe that our materials meet the needs of the AIR test? And then the third question was, what types of curriculum resources would best support students and their families at school and home? So we received a high number of responses from teachers, and looking at the trends of their responses, 7 through 12 significantly and commonly responded with, yes, the resources are meeting the standards with supplementation. It varied whether they believed that our math materials helped them prepare students for the AIR assessment. And if they said yes, they noted that it was because they were supplementing with a variety of materials. The biggest concern for our teachers is that what we're using now with the Engaged curriculum is that it's copying handouts. So the level of engagement on the handouts or the online preparation is not there, as well as parents and families are frustrated with the inability to go to anything and have a reference. So when they're at home trying to help their students, there's not somewhere where they can look. Engage is also, it's all application, which was a good movement at the time, but they're struggling to scaffold, for example, with special education students or students that are coming in lacking those foundational skills. So many of the 7-12 teachers are very passionate that we need to look at an online or textbook resource. K-5 is using the Envision curriculum, and they've been using that for
about 6 years.
They answered that yes, it's meeting the Ohio learning standards, but the trend was that they believe that it's meeting the Ohio learning standards at a very basic level. So the rigor is not significant enough unless they're supplementing to prepare them for those secondary levels. K-1 and 2, when asked about the AIR test, I got a lot of, so if you saw my trend, you'd see a lot of NAs. But a couple of second grade and first grade teachers mentioned that their third grade counterparts are frustrated because what they're doing in K-1 is not preparing them for then the third grade state assessment. Suggested resources from our elementary folks, they are asking for, again, more of a parent support, whether it be online or a textbook, and then more hands-on manipulatives with definitely, for those authentic math tests, definitely a trend. One thing, and it goes back to Dr. Hayward's opening statement, is that I think right now to create a comprehensive Washington local program, we really need to look at our resources and ensuring that the fifth grade students at Shoreland that had those fabulous value-added progress numbers, whatever they're having access to, resources that we're doing common across 8 buildings. There's a lot of, when they offered suggested resources, there's a lot of different things that are going on at different buildings. One teacher even responded, which shocked me and didn't, that, well, I don't know because I don't use any district math resources. So this teacher is piloting her own math curriculum. So I think that, and I don't think she's being defiant, I think she's just trying to meet the needs of her students.
Sure.
So I think there is definitely a need for a comprehensive math program that meets the needs of our students.
And with that said, in order for us to move forward with that review, so at this point I'm asking for you to consider allowing us to work with our teachers and review materials. We should be looking at that every 5 years, so the fact that we have elementary materials that are 6 years old concerns me anyways. The Engage New York Math Program is an online program. I think parents are also seeking, if you want me to help my child, then they need to be able to bring things home with that support. So for us to focus on math now versus in 2 years, I need permission from the board to consider allowing us to do that work with the understanding that I will need to come back and ask for money. And that money could be anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 is a typical math adoption for a district this size.
Okay.
so we can either stay in a holding pattern or we can move forward, and then I can come back to you with additional information. But I first need permission to look at the resources with the teachers and get a sense of, is there anything out there that will best meet our needs beyond what we're currently using? I don't want to take anything to teachers and then not have the funds to support it, because that's the worst thing you can do.
Would this be an addition to our budget, or would we move things around? So
it would be an addition to our budget.
Is it a one-time expense or multiple years?
It would be a one-time expense.
Well,
we could divide it out between this fiscal year and next fiscal year, so we could divide it.
I think 1 year is, you know, again, as the board's aware, we are deficit spending starting this year significantly going forward. However, $150,000 expense one time only is not a major impact on our budget. It will increase our deficit going forward for this year, but as long as it's a one-time expense, it's not as hardship if it's annually. Because as the board knows, our deficits are going to be significant starting this year and going forward.
And if we would do that, now that's an estimate, I would not come back to you for 5 years for additional math materials.
I think it's worth looking into.
I would support it. I think, you know, we have to get the administration 3 to 5 years and improve the scores. But I think that Jeff happens to plan on that for 5 years.
Yeah, again, I would just put additional $150,000 in. Would that be 511 or 520?
It would be textbook adoption.
Textbook adoption, 150. Okay. I can do that as I'm working on the forecast. Last week and going forward next 2 weeks, I'll just add $150,000 for this year. We'll go forward from there.
Now, there's always a chance that the teachers will come back and say there's nothing that is as good as what we have. It happens. It's rare, but just so you know.
I was very surprised in 712. Possibly K-5.
But something that's 6 years old, we need to at least look at their updated textbook to see what's new.
And that's consistent with what we've done in the past. Even though we've had money to adopt or pay for something, if the teachers and administration could not agree to it, or didn't think it was worthwhile, we didn't do it. I mean, we had social studies for years, but because of the state standards, that was explained to me, they didn't feel comfortable adopting a textbook that may change in the following year.
Yeah, we did, and we put science back a year because of that, because they're updating the standards, so we decided, why would you make any changes without knowing what the changes are going to be?
Good. No, it looks like you have 5 nods that you're looking for. So I just want to go back on a couple of little things I just had questions on. In the answer to addressing a lot of our problems, one of the phrases you kept saying was, we're going to evaluate curriculum and verify alignment with state standards. Okay. First of all, I want to know is, who is we? It says administrators. Who exactly is going to evaluate the curriculum?
Katie and her team, her curriculum team. It would be Katie, Rachel, Dolores, Kim, Joe. Their team will be working with our teachers. So they're not doing it. It is third grade teachers will be looking at their resources.
Okay. And when it says evaluate our curriculum, do we have a standard curriculum that you're going to be looking at, or are we going to be looking at different pieces of curriculum that different people are using?
Well, I think the first piece is to find out what teachers are using, just like we did with math, with this email and bringing the teachers in, and then really walking through the standards and ensuring that those resources are meeting the rigor.
Are you anticipating to see 7 different curriculums for the same?
I think we are in exceptional shape in K-3 literacy. I think that based on the responses I received from math, there's a lot of different things going on depending on the teacher and the building.
Okay, so that leads to my next question, because I kind of pictured that was your answer.
Yeah.
Do we have enough hands-on people to do what you want to do as far as analyzing curriculum? do we have the muscle to do a full analysis? Every area we had on that screen said administrators will evaluate curriculum in every single area. That was almost like cut and paste. That's the answer.
Yep.
Do we have the manpower and the ability to do what we're saying we're going to do to get to this curriculum?
I think it's going to be very difficult work, but I think that between the curriculum team and the building administrators and the teachers, I think it's necessary.
Well, I know it's necessary. My question is, do we need to look at moving a couple things around as far as people, if we're going to attack this in that way and bring in some key people who are, you know, can support us in that area? Do we have some department chairs, or do we have certain people that are really, really strong that we can't give some release time to get in to help you in some of those times? If you're going to have a full week of intense look, can we throw subs into those rooms and let those people come over and get together with you, find out what the direction is, and help with it? This is a big task, and I think we should do it well. And I think if we don't have enough people doing it, we're not going to do enough job. I mean,
I agree with you, David, but I think we should let the administration come back, and then if they want that.
No, no question. I'm just throwing those out to you that I think is something we should be looking at, giving support. If we're going to do this, evaluate curriculum, I think we need to have a lot of hands on deck.
Yeah. One thing that we will do is we will do what we did with math. We will survey our teachers. And then in those grade level meetings, in those department meetings, because one thing that's essential is voice of everyone. Every teacher has voice. So if you're a science teacher in this district, you get to have voice. And you do that through surveys, you do that through department meetings, you do that through grade level meetings. I'm hesitant to pull a bunch of teachers out in core areas and take them away from kids.
Well, here's my thought. We spent an awful lot of money with this department chair period. You know, we pay people a lot of money to sit in their office, and I think they're, you know, and I don't mean this negatively, but they're not always working as a department chair. You know, I mean, that's a lot of time in there. And I think if we could coordinate some of that department chair time into supporting with the curriculum, because they're great people, but I know what it's like. And so they have all this time for department chair, but oftentimes it's being used to grade papers or, you know, to go. I think we should take advantage of, if they're a department chair, they're there for a reason. And I think we should look at using that time to support the curriculum review.
Another thing that I did at the last superintendent's meeting, the curriculum director from the ESC spoke to the area superintendents, and she said lots of states are using the same pool of questions that Ohio uses for state testing. And she says, I'm trying to compile those questions and do all this. And I said, I am willing to give you money on behalf of Washington Local to support this initiative, because then we would give it to our teachers. And other superintendents said, can we send teachers? And I said, I am unwilling to send teachers because I'm not pulling them out of the classroom. If you already have an existing team of people at the ESC that could do that for us. And so one thing we could possibly consider is asking for help from them on an as-needed basis through contractual services, like some of their team members to help us do some of the grunt work stuff.
So that's kind of my thought in that area. Let's make sure we're using our resources, because I think we're putting an awful lot on you. And if we're going to be successful, we really need to make sure that we're and like you said, everybody should have a voice, but there has to be direction.
Right, but they're also, in regards to the department chairs, they're in the high school and the junior highs, but we don't have them in the elementary, so we're going to have to bring in some teachers from the elementary so they can, I mean, of course I trust the department chairs, but I'm elementary, so we need those people to come in as well. And I don't want them to be away from our students. God knows I don't want them to be one more meeting, but if this is going to help our kids.
Yeah, I think sometimes you got to look at the long term as opposed to the short term.
Absolutely.
I just hate to ever.
The other thing was, another thing I see in there is we have our principals writing an awful lot of action plans. I think I saw action plans in three different areas. Do the principals really have, and I know this is poignant, do the principals really have a hands-on understanding of the curriculum in each one of the areas in the school? And if they're going to be writing action plans, I once again go back to, I think the TED teacher should be a part of that action plan and help that write it? Because I don't think, let's just say Christy Martin for sure, when she, I don't know what her expertise is in math, but math is a much more complicated subject to me than history. And maybe she's really great at history, maybe her background, but if she doesn't, I mean, I don't know that she can write an action plan without involving the head teachers and the department chairs in each area. So as it says, you know, that there are going to be action plans, but with the principals, I would really like to see that tied into not only principals, but to put a little bit more on our department chairs, because that's really what we're expecting them to be doing.
Absolutely, and you know, Christy would be going to department meetings as well as meeting with her department chairs as a group, as well as meeting individually. Mm-hmm. So it's a group effort, and she needs to be doing that to get buy-in, because it's not her action plan, it's their action plan.
Yeah.
As
it
a
would
building.
Seem to me it would be much easier if Christy could write an action plan for math, and she could concentrate. We got a real problem with math in our school, and we need to write an action plan, but we're asking her to write action plans for SPED students, we're asking her to write action plans for, you know, progress, growth, I mean, we're asking a lot of action plans. I want to make sure that we're seeing some collaboration
yeah.
among her and the key people that can give her the information to help get these action plans to be real. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we get action plans that are just, they're fluff. And
I
I've
agree.
Seen a lot of fluff in my day.
Yeah, and you know, we're not interested in fluff.
No, I mean, they should be real action plans that we're really going to, and they should be attainable. They shouldn't be pie in the sky. They should say, this is what we're going to be doing, and this is, you know, where we want to go with it. So I'm just concerned that that we're using those department chairs and those people.
Yeah, and that would be make perfect sense, because she would not have the background knowledge to do that.
Yeah.
And it's a group effort, and the department and the department chairs are really saying, well, we feel that we can make these tweaks, and they're really leading those discussions.
If Christy was more, any principal was more
yeah.
guiding the discussion, but really letting those people be the meat of it, that's really where we ought to be, as opposed to Christy going in her office and writing an action plan. And you know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure that we really have those people where they need to be.
And the elementary is really focusing on grades 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's half their building in the elementary because of the tested areas mainly.
And it would be one action plan based off the needs of the building.
Right.
Because, for example, with gap closing, Jackman had a B, so they may choose to base their action plan more off of achievement
yeah.
or progress.
Yeah.
One of the things for the CCIP that every building has to do is they have to create building action plans based on performance. And so some of them already have action plans developed for the school year. But what this will do is then drive them back to those action plans and say, are we focusing on the right things based on the data that we've received? And do we need to make any modifications? And it's done in a collaborative group at each building.
But I think what's most important is that we are discussing those at every principal meeting, we're discussing those at staff meetings, and it's not writing it and then putting it in a folder. It is being aggressive and maintaining focus, because it's easy to lose that focus.
Yeah,
and so, good question.
We talked about there not being good, strong assessment tools in the 7 to 12 math and reading. I think we said they just weren't really strong assessment tools. I guess my question is, some of these schools here are doing some good things in some of these areas. I wonder, as I looked at it, I just circled A, B's, and C's on it, and I looked at the disparity. There are two districts that kind of, in my mind, just jumped off the paper, Kettering over in Montgomery, and Austintown local in Youngstown. I just wonder if it wouldn't be worth our while to take a day, maybe 2 days, and take an administrative team field trip to these two schools ahead of time, putting in kind of a question, this is, would you mind if we came in for a day and spent some time with you and your curriculum people and just see what are they doing. Maybe they're using some assessments that we don't know about. I mean, sometimes stealing things from the people that are doing well. Now, we all have Fs and indicators met, and we know that really comes down to a weakness in the state reporting. These schools are not all Fs. But then when you see a lot of A's and B's in a school like, for instance, Kettering or Austintown, they're doing something right. And if they're somewhat similar to us in demographics, I would like to actually take 2 days off of work, and if we could find and do, you know, get some key people, obviously, you know, a curriculum or assistant superintendent, and take a day, go there and get a bus, go down, stay there, maybe that night, stay there, and then go to the next school the next day, and just talk to these people. But we give them something ahead of time of what we're interested in learning about. Maybe we could even, when once we're there, break up a little bit and go to different areas. But I think we could learn a lot. And if we learn nothing, we know that what's not working. But I think stealing from these people who have got a nice report card coming out would be very wise of us.
Yep.
And so I would like to do something like that. Like I said, I would personally like to take off a couple of days and go with that group just to see what they're doing and that type of thing. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
I would like to do that too. I don't know if I drive the bus.
Maybe not a school bus. You could drive the bus.
So maybe, you know, maybe two of us could actually do that. But I think that'd be something, if you have any relationship with these, but call these superintendents and say, hey, we're seeing your report card, we're seeing good things.
Yeah.
We've got some real areas of concern. Let me send you a questionnaire, some things that maybe you could arrange little meetings or whatever, and then we could break as we get down to their different groups and see what they're doing. I just think
if we do that, Susan, just don't let them charge us $400 a day for the person who goes to this.
Yeah, we've done that before, actually. When we did the block schedule, we went over to block scheduling many, many years ago. We went to three different schools with Mike, and we went to different schools, and we learned a ton. We came back. Did you go with us, Jeff? But it was a phenomenal trip. And
I've done this for years, and I've done this on the national level, but we didn't get a good score in social studies, and we immediately went to Mason City Schools down in Cincinnati and spent the day down there. And so one thing that we will want to do is look at their history.
Yeah.
Kettering is a high-performing, it's right beside Beaver Creek, so I know a lot about Kettering.
Yeah.
They're a high-performing district.
So when I was a principal, the school system I was in, Justin, we were near Flushing.
Mm-hmm.
Our superintendent's right to switch principals for 2 days, so I could see what the teachers were doing in Flushing as middle school teachers and all the principals, which I always thought was kind of interesting.
But, you know, so that was something I'd like to throw
out. Yep, that's a great idea.
I'd like to do. The other question I have about preparation for success, we have a D in there, which now I'm starting to think D's are good. Talking about the ACT, in Perrysburg now, they are making mandatory for all students to take the PSAT, like freshman year or sophomore year, and then they come out with a report that tells you what you need to be working on for preparation for ACT. Have we looked at that idea?
We have. We are transitioning to the PACT since we give the ACT.
Right.
So Christy came to us last week and asked if she could make that switch. And so they're actively working on that at the high school.
Because they did a lot of research, and I think maybe you want to talk to Perrysburg, but they found out that the ACT group gives you a lot more support to learning what you're missing than the other.
Yep.
Okay, and then so they actually give you this PSAT, which is a preparation test, but every student takes it. Then they give you data back that tells you what were your weaknesses were, and then so when the kids go to take the ACT, they're much better prepared, and it's paying major dividends. Just
so
by
is that
dividends.
Expensive, David?
No.
No.
I mean, take the... Or is that free? Yes,
it's not free, but it's not an expensive
one. Yeah, it's like $8 a kid.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap.
And we also offer, beginning this year, ACT prep courses as a choice with our new schedule.
But the problem is with the ACT prep course, this is individualized to the school and to the student. So it comes back and says, this is the test they took, and so you can see common problems in the whole thing. And it's really a great thing for teachers.
So do they give the PSAT to the juniors and when they're ready?
I think the PSAT goes to the sophomores. And then so you take your SAT your junior year, so you've got that whole year with the data from them that tells you this is what you need to design and direct at. It really is strong. So I'm just suggesting if that's something that's being discussed, I would like to see that put on a fast track because it is a great thing.
So I'd like to ask a question: are more universities taking ACT?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's more. I think most people take ACT.
Your more elite liberal arts colleges will ask for an SAT. But more state schools and your overall the higher percentage of universities are asking for ACT.
Okay, so kids take both.
So you can take both,
Right, so all of our children will be exposed to the PACT because I had one of my students is a junior now, and I talked to her mother, and she goes, "What can we do for help?" Because she was reaching for that. I said, "First of all, go to your counselor. Ask your counselor." But if we're doing this, and maybe this young lady wasn't aware.
She might not have.
But she's a junior, though.
Yeah.
So we didn't have it last year. So what's going to happen with our juniors that are taking the ACT this year?
They do offer the SAT.
Okay.
We've been offering
the SAT. Maybe she just misunderstood.
We've switched from the SAT to the ACT since the juniors are already required to take ACT.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
So it's not the same assessment, but it still gives you good data.
Yeah. The reason they switched this was just because they found the ACT people were not as supportive as a SAT people as far as what the resources were. That's
right.
What they said. They just don't give you as much information back. Okay. The last little thing I had was, this was a pretty good little chart here as we looked at what 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And there were three schools that stood out in different areas, which I think is kind of cool. We had Hiawatha doing a really nice job in math. And this is just math. I wasn't looking at reading. And then, obviously, Shoreland kicked butt over in 5th grade. And then McGregor did a really good job in 6th grade. And we were talking about, you know, sharing resources and sharing what successes are. Why don't we do something out of the box, and why don't we go to these three departments and these three different schools and offer them a stipend for a presentation? Say, because, you know, why don't you three math teachers get together? We'll give you each $200 to put a nice presentation together, and then on your development day, you present this to all the fourth grade teachers of our elementaries, and you're going to present this to all the teachers in our fifth grade. Just what you're doing. Nothing. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to make them, but just tell them what you're doing. What's your success story? How did you? Why do you think this? And, you know, give them $200 or $300 a piece. It's not going to cost us much money, but to, you know, that way we're inside the contract. They could get together after school if they want, but just say, hey, we're recognizing what you've done. We'd like to have you guys just give a presentation, a Google Doc slide or whatever it is, and when we have fourth grade math meeting, we'd like everybody to come and we'd like you to present that. You know, I mean, it doesn't cost you much, and it does not only give them support, but it also gives the other people a look at maybe what they're doing.
If they're willing.
I was saying, and as a caveat to that, that did happen actually when, well, I have five principals, Katie being my last one, and we did have, our teachers did go to other schools and observe teachers, and we had teachers in our building give PD to our staff or go to other schools because what was working in their classroom, we wanted to share it because most teachers share and steal. So it has gone on, but yeah. We maybe need to focus a little bit more.
I'd love to send a half-day sub.
A
half-day sub to everybody or whatever, and have all the math teachers for fourth grade come here and have a presentation or wherever they go. And then that would be one day, and then another day, all your fifth grade math teachers come. And just, I mean, it, not only does it pump these people up what they're doing, it gives them also a chance to do it, and, you know, some title of could tie in with curriculum. So.
What's going to be interesting, like those Shoreland kids, sixth graders, how are they going to score on sixth grade?
Right. We used to always study that here. Was we'd watch how a class would go through, and you go, okay, this is going to be a bad year for this. You know, we would kind of watch that class. Right. So.
You do bring up a good point because it's going to be really. That's what's bad about value added. They got that 16, and then when they, and it's going to be really hard for them to show growth with because of that high number.
You know, the sad part is just carrying the history of our district forward. Value added has always been our strength. It has always been this district's strength. When our report card would come out and we'd have a C or a D, and when they put the value added on, we would go to an A or B.
Yep.
And so that's the one thing that was probably the most deflating of all the statistics I've seen is that we lost our value added.
I would
we were
agree.
Always a value added district.
I would agree.
So let me just throw something on the table real quick. Does anybody have any problem with doing, you know, directing them, having you do something with the teachers coming in and doing something like that, some type of stipend or?
Oh, I have no problem with it.
Is that something you wouldn't like? Also, how about the idea of us putting together a trip?
I think that's great. I would like to do some research.
Yes.
And really talk to these districts and make sure that what they're doing is worth going there. Because
yep.
I've gone before and.
I think just the fact that they've got these report card numbers, even if we. I think we just need to see what it is.
Yeah.
I just can't be pure luck. I mean, we've got
three. Yeah, because we have to make sure it's not luck, and they can tell us what they've done instead of saying we don't know how we got that.
Yeah, and then so we can witness it. But and then we can sit down and do that. And I see Jim has shown some interest in it, and I definitely have an interest in it. And
I took some courses in Youngstown State, so I think it was always interesting that people would sit in class and say, who were in Montgomery County, discussions compared to.
You know, we did it once, and we got to the district. They let us in, but then they were unwilling one time to share their materials. So I said, "Well, we will share this if you will share this." And sometimes, I've also been to a district where we visited and they just gave packets, and the parents supported these packets that went home every night. And so that's why we just need to do our background information to make sure it fits with.
Well, and you want a district that's going to, you know, work with us as far as an agenda, who we're going to see. And I mean, you need that kind of, if they say, well, we'd prefer not, that's fine. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we're reaching out, we're districts.
I think it's exciting.
Kids. Yeah. I do need to go to, is there another discussion? We do need to go to an executive session.
I need to ask one question.
Yes.
The former disciplinarian, how did, I'm sure you looked that up, did they compare with Harrisburg? The district you were in.
Oh. We, was Perrysburg part of our similar district?
Yes.
I think Perrysburg has been, but Solon was always in our group, and we were always chasing Avon Lake, Avon Local, and Solon. And Solon is the number one district in the state this year. So you chase, there are districts that you chase. So we chased Solon, Avon Lake, Avon Local, and they're all together in Cleveland.
Cleveland area, my sister lives in Westlake.
Yeah, and Westlake's right up in there. So Mason is also, which was close to us. Kettering was right beside us. But Kettering is not similar to Washington Local at all. It's like Sylvania.
Yeah. Well, Avon Lake and Avon, and those are just a little bit cash.
And I'm from Newark, so that's one of ours, too.
Taught in Kettering first year.
Yeah, they're more like Sylvania.
I mean, I know we can never use the P word, but God love our parents. I know they're trying.
Yeah.
That new math. I keep.
So we're going into executive session. Did you get a letter yesterday? Did you get a letter from yesterday? All the people called that campus and Scott. I sent another letter out. I sent a letter to my voice candidate.
Oh, okay.
Have you gotten that yet?
Do you have it on the wall?
Oh, I didn't get it yesterday.
Is it
so you probably will get it today?
Well, you know the slow mail.
Yeah.
I'll probably get it today. Actually, I'm waiting. I'm already told this today. I have another family wedding.
Yeah, it's over because it's keep
getting. Is that on? Okay. Wendy, can you go in and get that room ready real quick for executive session? We put the tables together in the back corner. Are they together? Okay, perfect.
Great.
Did you do that? Thank you.
To one of us, be sure.
Okay, I already did it.
Lynn, help me.
Number two, executive session. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education enter into executive session to number 12, consider information that concerns a dispute which is or may become subject to litigation or other legal proceeding and would be harmful to the interests of the school district if disclosed to any opposing parties or party.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser, second by Ms. Canales. Comments or questions? I do not expect this to last much more than 4 or 5 seconds. Minutes.
4 or 5 seconds.
Thank you, Carlo. Mr. Langenhofer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Intermediate session at 9:38 a.m.
Where are we headed? Let the minutes reflect that at 10:02 a.m., the Washington Local Board of Education returned from executive session and did, in fact, consider the information that concerns a dispute which is or may become subject to litigation or other legal proceeding and would be harmful in the interest of the school district if disclosed to any opposing party or parties. Everyone who went to the meeting did come back to our meeting, and we are all at the table, and I would be more than happy to entertain a motion to adjourn unless someone has something for the good of the group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser, second by Mr. Langenhofer. Comments or questions? Hearing none, call roll.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Langenhofer.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Let the record show that all recording this meeting has been made is on file in the Office of the Treasurer. Meeting is adjourned at 10:03 a.m.
Senior night.